today as we baptize, we celebrate death to self and new life. And we're going to start a seven-week series today entitled All In, about us being all in for God, for Jesus as our Lord and Savior, with our lives and how we live. And I believe it's going to be a great, great 7 weeks. Jesus in Matthew 10, he tells us, I promise he does. Let me know if it comes up. Just remember, anytime God has something great for some lives in our midst, stuff always goes wrong, because that's just part of the spiritual battle there. Hey, guys, settle down, man. Jesus said, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. Now, does this sound, this is, of course, Jesus' words, and we know he is full of love, grace, mercy, compassion. But he's also reminding us that just as John 3:16 is true, just as his grace and mercy are gifts out of perfect love, there is a cost, and that cost in verse 39 is our very lives. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And this is Jesus reminding us of the cost of following him, which is to give up ourself, to give up our will, our rebellion, our way, and to submit to following him, to being all in. But what we tend to do is we tend to be stubborn, we're rebellious, we're sinful. We tend spiritually to kind of drag along. And so later on in Matthew, in verse 16, he has just told his disciples what is going to happen. And they, especially Peter, I love Peter, I love his spirit, but look what it says here. Peter took Jesus aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Could you imagine reprimanding Jesus? Peter's like, whoa, Jesus, I can't even imagine doing that. He says, heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. And other translations say, get behind me, Satan. He said, you are a dangerous trap to me. Let's hold this verse for a minute. He says, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Don't we tend to do that? Listen, the moments in my life, the seasons where I love Jesus the most, there's always that pull of this life and this world. And my bank account, or my way, or how I feel about things, or what I want to do with my time, talents, and resources. And so this is an eternal thing, this battle that we constantly fight of being all in and devoted to Jesus versus thinking about and living life in the moment and using our feeble brains and thinking about things from a human point of view. Let's go forward, please. But Jesus then said to them, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for me, Jesus said, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And so guys, this morning, what's in the way of you being fully devoted to Jesus? Because he is reminding us, whatever it is not worth it. Why not be all in with your life for Jesus as your Lord? We think of all in. You think of poker this day and age, right? If you have ESPN, it's on all the time. And we'll talk about gambling briefly in one moment. But it's having all your chips in the table. It's you saying, you know what? I am all in. I am done. I'm going. I'm making or breaking it with this hand right here. Here's the deal. And guys, let's get the chips on the table. In this life, unless Jesus returns, each and every one of us, we're dead, right? We're going to die. We're going to lose our lives. We're going to lose our very lives. And so why not lose what we're going to lose anyway and we can't save for Jesus who came to save you? And if you're already saved, why not be devoted? Why not be honest about where your life is and where your relationship is with Jesus today? In Jeremiah, you probably know the verses, but I want to read this. And especially if you're here this morning and you're not walking with Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now, you've never made that decision, or maybe you have, but you're maybe not in a great spot, be honest with yourself. This is Jesus reminding us that God has great plans for you, a future, a hope. When you pray, he will listen. If you seek him wholeheartedly, you will find him wholeheartedly. Not seeking him by coming to church occasionally or by just believing that he exists. We must be seeking him. I find, yeah, me, pastor, whatever, I have to be seeking God. He wants me to have a part in this. He wants me to do a lot of the work. But he is faithful, and we seek him, we will find him. And he says, I'll be found by you. I will end your captivity, restore you. I will gather you. I will bring you home again to your own land. That's my testimony of when I finally surrendered my life to Jesus. And that's a testimony God wants to make for, I believe, some of you here today, is for you to surrender your will to Him. Some of you that are already saved and baptized, there's some of you here today, you're still holding on to your way. You're still holding on to your will. You're still kind of thinking about things from man's point of view, and God still loves you. I do it at times. He understands that. But let's learn how to live all in for Jesus. Let's live lives that show love and redemption, because we are made for so much more. And guys, do you go out into the world? Do you see a world that is, the Bible says, long, it's groaning, it's broken. There's bondage, there's despair, and there's brokenness all around us. It's all around us. Even the very messages. I was doing some research for the message this week, and one of the things that comes up a lot, and I hear people say this, is, well, my heart's telling me this, and follow my heart. We've said it here before, but I didn't realize, like, we're okay with our kids watching some Disney movies, whatever, but the whole theme of follow your heart, do whatever makes you happy, it's out there, isn't it? The whole world is about do whatever makes you happy. I was counseling a friend this week, and he kept mentioning, I'm happy, me being happy, and I'm like, that's not the end game. God wants you to have joy. He even wants us to be happy, but there's much more than that. So I came across a quote this week that said, you have the right to follow your heart. Do what's right for you. See, when I accepted Christ and when you did, we kind of gave that up, didn't we? We have a right and we have an obligation to follow Jesus. It's not just about us or what we want. So over these next 7 weeks, let's learn how we can be all in. We can stop following our hearts. We can stop living our lives like they're ours and be all in for Jesus Christ. Because I believe we're entering into, as a church, an incredible season that we can have for our community. It is almost 2017. Can you guys believe that? I mean, I don't mean to sound like an old person, because I'm not old. Some of you are. And can you believe it's almost, I want you to just think about the year you were born. Remember when it turned 2000? Remember just how fast does life go? It is about to be 2017. And I believe that we need to redeem the time, church. We need to be all in and be complete in how we are individually and therefore as a church living for Jesus. So we're going to take 7 weeks. Seven indicates completeness and wholeness. And we're going to take these next 7 weeks, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over today Abraham, then the rich young ruler, then Elisha, then Noah, the rich fool, Zacchaeus. And we're also going to contrast Judas and Mary Magdalene and how they saw what they had or wanted to have and finances and gifts and all that kind of stuff. And so one thing I want to mention, when you see the rich young ruler and the rich fool, I bet not many of us in here would call ourselves financially rich. I certainly wouldn't. But let me say this, especially as we're in those weeks, I'll talk about that. Guys, I don't believe there's a one of you in here today who doesn't live a much more quality and have a high quality standard of living than these men in the Bible. You have refrigerators and freezers and smartphones and televisions and walk-in clinics and hospitals and doctors and cars and air conditioning, and need I go on? And so when we think about the context as we go over some of this stuff about being rich, it's really, guys, about our hearts, our devotion to the Lord, and what we do with and how we view what we're blessed with and our very, very lives. Because I believe in our better moments. I believe there's not many or any of you sitting here this morning who don't want to be on fire for Jesus, who don't really want to live for Him, but it's so easy to flatline with our godliness, isn't it? It's so easy to stagnate in our Christianity, and so we need seasons of challenge, which is what I believe this sermon series will be. Guys, we need to be stewarding our resources well. I'm not talking just about money, our lives, our talents, our time. Our time we have here that is so limited on planet Earth. And so what we find is as we serve, as we give, as we get out of our comfort zone, God blesses us with growth and with joy, and we experience these things. And so I want to encourage you to come along these next 7 weeks, because I know what will happen is that life will happen, and kids will happen, and headaches will happen, and shopping will happen, and activities and sports, and there'll be Sundays you just don't want to make it. But please come along for these 7 weeks, because this is going to be a truly, truly wonderful sermon series as we enter into a great season as a church. So the title, All In, what does that bring to mind to you? It brings to mind to me two things. Number one, I like Westerns, the old Westerns, the high-stakes poker game, right? It brings more to me, because I like sports, and so it brings more to me in mind that when I wake up and can't sleep on ESPN2 at 1 in the morning, they're always playing an old World Series of poker. That's what All In. It makes me think of that. Now, the Bible does not condone gambling. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's a title that fits, because it's my prayer that we be all in as a church individually. This isn't a catchphrase, guys. This is about our hearts, our devotion, our lives. This is about eternities at stake for those around us. What if a church of 350 people in a town of only 5,400, what if we were all in spiritually, financially, relationally? What if we were? But so often we hold out, and when we hold out, we miss out. When you hold out from God Almighty, you miss out. And therefore, so do others around you. And it's my fear, and it bothers me that some who may be set in church and those around us in the world will never know the power or the joy of surrendering to Jesus, of the great plans that God has. And that's sad, and that's tragic. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. In just one moment, we're going to read several verses. Genesis chapter 22, if you have your Bibles, there should be a Bible around you. If you don't have a Bible, please see me before you leave, and we want to give you one as a gift. An old-fashioned Bible, that's right. It won't be pink, but we will give you one. It's okay if you want to use your device, go for it. I believe this is one of the more uncomfortable passages in the Bible. I mean, there is some stuff that this isn't the most, but there's tension here because of what God is asking Abraham to do. But I find, listen to this, I hope you're taking notes, we learn great lessons in life through tension. We learn great lessons in life through struggles and trials, and when we are obedient to God. We grow, we are blessed, and we learn great lessons when we obey God. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 22. Verses 1 through 18, I'm going to paraphrase and I'm going to read fast, so we'll be okay, all right? Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to a land and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and said to his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham took the lamb and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, The Lord will provide. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham passed the test. Now, if you grew up in America between the years of like maybe the mid-60s and into the late 90s, do you recognize this sound? Yes? Is that a test of the emergency broadcast system? Or my horrible rendition of what that sounded like? Do they still do that on TV? Because they still do it on the radio. And there are times when I will turn on my XM in the car and that awful sound will be on. And I'll have that moment of anxiety like, is the world coming to an end? Or is this just a test? I believe God here. That noise was just to make sure you guys were awake, by the way. I believe that this was a test. It says here in verse 1 that God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham. God never intended for Abraham to sacrifice his son. And see, I believe similarly, there are times in life when God tests us. And he's not an angry God looking down, waiting for us to fail. But I believe there are moments, and really on a daily basis, that we are being tested about our devotion to God. See, this isn't a story of God's character. This is a story about Abraham's character. And I firmly believe that we show whether or not we trust God by how we live our lives, by how we treat other people, by our devotion to him. For Abraham, this was a test of whether he would be willing to give up a 25-year promise in the making, which was Isaac, his son. And guys, if you're here this morning and a follower of Jesus, there are things in this life we have to give up. There are things that when we don't, we show that we are living, as Jesus told Peter, for man's ways, for this world, for ourselves. And so here's the deal. Did Abraham idolize Isaac more than he loved and trusted God? Listen to that this morning. Listen to me. What do you idolize more than you love and trust God? Because if you're living willfully with anything in your life that is sin, that is outside of God's word, if you're disobeying whatever it is that is the means to your end there, whether it's not tithing, not serving, whether it's living in sin, whether it's sexually or in any way like that, you're showing God that you love that thing more than Him. And why in the world do we do that? Because here's the deal. Anything we idolize and love more than God, we're eventually going to lose, whether it be in this life or next. And we have to be careful because we're good at idolizing good things. The gifts that God gives us can become idols. The blessings that God gives us can become more important than the God who gave them to us in the first place. Where's your primary devotion? And we have to be honest with ourselves about where our devotions are in our lives, because even great things like our spouse or kids or money or friendships, sports, pleasure, whatever it is, a lot of these things can be great in context, but what are our priorities? Because we must remember our hearts are deceitful, and we will rationalize disobedience to God if we're not truly devoted. See, I firmly believe there's not a lot of in-between. Even though God is a love of mercy and grace, we're either surrendered to Jesus and following Him or we're not. Kind of and good enough and just avoiding the big sins and coming to church as a thing other than just, you know, again, to worship, to be a part, to do your part, that I believe is not being all in for Jesus. And so there are tests in life. And this was a test to Abraham. Think about this. So I have a wife. I have wife. And so I was doing caveman talk or Yoda. But I have a wife, and I have kids, and I have family, and I have friends, and many of you and just all of you who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not trying to sound like a hero because I'm not, but I firmly believe I would take a bullet for my wife, kids, family, and really for you guys if given the choice. As your pastor, I'm supposed to help look out for you to the best of my ability. And I know I don't always do the greatest job, but I really think I would. And think about what Abraham was asked to do here. Think of your loved ones or your children. Think about sacrificing them. God's like, you're going to put a knife, Abraham, into Isaac. I mean, but that's not about God. That's a test of Abraham's character. And guys, the thing is, we think about something like that and being faithful to God. I want you to be honest with yourself right now. What little things are you not even being faithful in? I have to ask myself that. I believe that in my prayer life and my time in the Word, God brings stuff to my attention where I drop the ball. And we think about this level of faithfulness. Are you even being faithful in the little things? Next slide, please. Because there will be moments in life when God will test us to determine if we are devoted to Him. And again, I don't believe this is usually like these big epiphanies. It's like, well, yeah, I was tempted. There was this person I was attracted to, and I didn't, you know. I believe that can happen, but I believe it's really just consistent faithfulness. Consistent faithfulness to God. And we must be honest with ourselves about our devotion to the Lord. You guys, we should be praying, God, what do you want from my life? What areas am I deceiving myself about? How am I not losing my life? Am I trying to gain too much of this world and losing myself? Why are we so hesitant to go all in? Why are we so hesitant to be devoted? And a lot of times it's giving something up. It's changing our lives. I believe fear. I believe fear is what keeps us from going all in. I believe fear is one of the greatest tactics of our enemy, yeah? I firmly, firmly believe that. Because we're so scared. God's going to shake up my life. Well, wait, do you love your life? Because Jesus says you must love Him more. You must lose your life. And guys, here's what's great. Especially if you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to repent of your sins, to follow Jesus, to accept God's grace, you're not a Christian, you can trust God. He is faithful. He is good. He is love. He has good plans for you. He has good purpose for you. He has an eternity of better than you can imagine for you. but you've got to trust Him. He loves you. Don't be afraid. There's only a couple reasons to be afraid this morning, and that's number one, if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Everyone in here will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. That is just God's truth from His Word. And the thing is that He gives you a choice and He makes a way for that to be with Him in heaven, and that's Jesus. That's going all in and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so if you haven't done that, you will have a chance before you leave today to say yes. But number two, if you're here and you're a Christian, here's something else to be afraid about, is if you're living in sin, you have willful sin in your life. You know it's wrong. You know that you shouldn't be living that way. You keep doing it. You just kind of have to convince yourself it's okay. Guys, you need to repent from that. The Bible says repent, that times of refreshing may come. And so you'll have a chance before you leave to come to this altar and someone will pray with you. And that's a great thing. But also for us as believers is when the Bible talks about if we're lukewarm, if we've just become very shallow with our faith, very not bought into to Jesus as Lord and Savior, very not bought into the church, not bought in that you truly exist now for others, that you no longer live, but He lives through you. That's being all in, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So in the essence of time, let's get back to Abraham. So Abraham got up, it says, he saddled his donkey, he put Isaac in the car seat, and he went off to the place of sacrifice. Okay, you guys with me? He didn't put Isaac in a car seat, it didn't say that. But I say that to say this. I think when I read this story for so much of my life, I thought Isaac was like a little kid. I thought he was like a baby, and Isaac is not a little kid at all. Isaac is much older than that. And if you've ever missed that in this story, I want to talk about that for just one second. It also says in here that he left early. Let me tell you why he left early, because Abraham was smart and he didn't want to wake up his wife. I'm not sure that Sarah was all in about him sacrificing Isaac. So Abraham is smart. He kind of is afraid of his wife in a loving, right way. And he's like, I'm going to get up early and we're going to go. Because can you imagine Sarah waking, hey, what are you doing, Abraham? You going to Casey's to get some coffee? No, actually, I'm going to sacrifice and stab our son because God told me to. I'm not sure Sarah would have been all in with that as a mother. She may not have been all in at that prospect at all. But if she was, it was just as much a test for her. And let's talk about Isaac for a moment this morning as well. See, he is often seen as passive in this story. This is all about Abraham and God asking him to do this. But I don't think that's the case at all. Because when this happened, you guys know Abraham was well over 100 years old. So you know what that leads me to believe based on how old Isaac was at the time? That Isaac could have taken him. Seriously. When Abraham went to start tying him up and when he realized, I think Isaac could have been like, sorry, pops, and he could have got out of there. He could have physically handled him. He could have done all these things. But I believe, and listen to this, especially men, I believe that Abraham's wife and child followed his lead because they trusted him as a man of God. And so, men, you need to understand, husbands and fathers, be the spiritual leaders in your home. Because if you go the other way, if they see you're a hypocrite, if they see you don't love, if they see you act one way and a different way at home and talk a different way, and you don't pray with them and read the Bible with them when you can, and you're not serious about your faith, they will follow you the other way as well. They'll be like, this church stuff isn't serious. God, it's just something we do on Sunday. Men, this is a big deal. But women, children, everybody, non-fathers, you're not off the hook either, guys, because as followers of Jesus, as those who claim the name of Jesus, this goes to our lives as well. When you leave this building, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you do all these things, we are to be the light. We are to be the example, and we must be leaders. And so I don't believe that Isaac was passive here at all. I believe this is just about faithfulness to God and the fact that God rewards obedience. The word obedience makes us all just kind of, because we're rebellious. We want to do our own thing. And then if you're here this morning and maybe you're not churched or whatever, you kind of thought, there we go again with the religion. You got to obey. Yes, we have to obey because God loves us, because God wants the best for us, because God's way protects us from ourselves and our sinful nature and our sinful decisions and our rebellion, because God is a fair God. God is a just God. We will spend eternity one place or the other. And it's giving our lives to Jesus that ensure that we'll be in heaven. And so Sometimes I believe when we think that way, we focus on God the wrong way. See, God loves you. God loves to dramatically provide for his children. And Abraham here was obedient. I have said this before in a sermon, but I'll say it again. We so often don't see the blessings, the joy, the peace, I don't talk about money necessarily when I say blessings. We don't see the miracles. We don't see because we're so often not faithful, not consistently. We don't give God a chance to show up. You guys know how many times now in 6 years of ministry, someone will come and they'll come into my office and say, I want to talk to you. I've been coming to church now for 2 or 3 weeks and nothing's changed. God hasn't answered my prayer at all. You want to explain that, preacher man? I hear that stuff. Trust me. I'm like, have you given your heart to Christ? Have you said, have you surrendered to him? Have you followed him in baptism? Have you repented and turned from your sin? No, but I've been praying. Well, praying is good. But guys, this is our human mindset. We're selfish. We think God exists for us when nothing could be further from the truth. We exist for him. Amen? And so God loves to provide for his children and his people in a wonderful and even in dramatic ways. Why do you think God waited 400 years to free the slaves? Why do you think God waited until the children of Israel were out of Egypt and the Red Sea was right here and the Egyptian army here? Why didn't he smite them on the way? Why did God wait till Daniel was in the lion's den? Why did God wait till Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace? If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. I want to tell you why. Because he wants to show the world. He wants to show the lost. He wants to show generations. He wants to show us. He wants to show our children. He wants to show Hoopston in 2016 that his people trust him. That they're faithful. That he is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a fair God. He is a merciful God. And when you and I are all in, when we are faithful, when we're living for him, that then shows the world that God is good and God is faithful and God can be trusted. So how's your devotion to God with your attitude, with your mouth, with your character, with your love, with your time, with your body, with your finances, with your church, with your time in the Word, with obeying God's Word, because God rewards that trust and that obedience, and he loves to show off in his children. It's not always a perfect ride, is it? But he's worth it. He is faithful. Do you know how many times I can just testify? I'm sure a lot of you can, but I'm up here, so here we go. God is faithful. And there's so many seasons I've been through where I'm like, why? Whether it was my own decision or something that just happened, and I'm like, or maybe it was a blessing or just something I was praying for. And I can look back now and be like, man, I'm so thankful that that prayer got answered when it did or how it did. Just even being here in Hoopston, we talked seriously to one church before we were called here. And when we started to feel like that wasn't God's will and we went and visited and we're like, I want to be in ministry. It's my purpose. Oh, I was just so frustrated and I'm just so thankful that God made me wait and made me be patient and even impatient. Guys, you can trust him. He has your best at heart. He has your eternity at heart. He has your family in his heart. He loves you. He is faithful. He can be trusted. How much do you trust him this morning? What's your devotion this morning to the Lord? What's your devotion to Jesus in giving your life for others, in putting others first, in loving God and loving them? God doesn't want to take stuff away. He wants our devotion. He wants our heart. Is there something this morning that you need to let go of? Is there something that you need to place on the altar to be willing to sacrifice to God? Because see, when you're all in, you will then see him provide. And guys, I want to tell you again this morning, if you're holding out, you will miss out. I can't kind of love Jesus. I can't kind of be devoted to Jesus. I can't kind of be a Christian, and neither can you. He wants our heart. The only way to save your life, the only way to come into the fullness and the abundance now and the joy, the purpose, the meaning is to walk with Jesus. And that starts with giving him your heart. So wherever you're at this morning, especially if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never said yes to forgiveness, to the fact that Jesus took your shame, your guilt, your sin on the cross, that he took your place, you can do that right now. Would you stand with me this morning? Pastor Hunter's going to sing in just one moment. We're going to prepare to baptize. But guys, the altars, if you're physically able, the altar, the stairs, come up and someone will pray with you this morning. Maybe it's to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time in your life, or maybe it's something that you need to let go of or to pray about. But guys, the world is so desperately looking, so in bondage, so broken, so lost. They're looking for the real thing, and that's you and I when we're all in to Jesus. If you're still holding on to yourself, you don't know what you're missing. Guys, for so long I held on. I wanted to be a Christian, but I just held on. And God had this great plan and great purpose and great life for me, but I really had to let go. The old song says, "All to Jesus I surrender." He wants your heart so He can then reveal to you and show you His love, His grace, His goodness. Guys, don't waste one more breath, because you don't know how many you have playing games with your salvation, your eternity, or especially if you're a believer, your destiny in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, this morning as we prepare, Lord, to celebrate baptisms, right now, Lord God, would you, through your Holy Spirit, continue to work on each and every heart in here, each and every life, each and every destiny, each and every marriage, each and every family. Heavenly Father, Lord God, would you speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name? Amen. Guys, you're welcome to come and pray as we prepare. If you're being baptized, let's come on back.
Make me broken so I can be healed, 'cause I'm so callous. God, we come today before you, and we want to declare that we are all in. We realize that it doesn't matter what it takes. We want to be yours. If we have to be broken, if we have to be empty, if we have to be lonely, whatever we have to sacrifice today, God, we give it up to you. So we raise our hands, we come forward, we bow down, we light a candle, we take communion, whatever, Lord, to declare that we are all in. Make me lonely so I can be yours till I'm one, no one more than you, Lord. Darkness, I know you will hold me. Make me lonely till you are, till you are my one desire, till you are my one true love, till you are my breath, my every. Lord, please keep me, keep me. He's keeping.